and welcome to the Radio Academy podcast with me, Roisin Hasty. This is a space where we come to celebrate the very best radio and podcast content being made by speaking to the people who make them happen. And this week we're speaking to the team behind an ARIA award-winning radio station.
The judges were unanimous in awarding gold to this entry that cleverly uses creative talent to stand out. From viral entertainment features to documentaries and hard-hitting interviews to strong commercial partnerships, the gold winner for UK Station or Network of the Year is Hits Radio!
Obviously, winning an award like ARIA's Station of the Year is a big deal in the industry and means a lot to the team whose on-air content is being so publicly held up on a pedestal and celebrated.
I had absolutely no idea, genuinely. And I've always been at award ceremonies and heard people say that. It's like the cliche. Yeah. We really weren't expecting it. No, we really were expecting it.
You know, we're all radio geeks in this game, aren't we? And I think that is an absolute milestone. And I think, being really honest, being on that nomination list was a real moment for us. And we wanted to cherish that moment on the night and not worry too much about the final result. To get that final award, we were genuinely stunned and shocked. And, you know, it's a real heartfelt thank you to the judges and the Academy, because it really has meant the world to the team.
You just heard there from Paul Gerrard, the programme director for Hits Radio, and Fleur East, who's a presenter on the station's breakfast show. Now, they took part in an online event for the Radio Academy last week, chatting to host Mary Manderfield about creating their standout awards entry. They chatted for an hour in total, and there was just too much to get it all into this podcast episode. So we've decided to focus on what they had to say about the breakfast show in particular. So let's get to it.
How did you compile it, the award entry? Who did what? Where did you start?
We obviously, throughout the year, archive an awful lot of content. And you know, as the year builds, what your iconic moments are. And I think the thing I took back from it, looking back, you know, after the win, was there were a lot of big pieces that we'd programmed and built as these are going to be our big moments. You know, one big moment per month is what we try and aim for.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you know, sometimes luck just goes your way and some great opportunities come your way. And it's how you capitalize on that to make that a piece and how you react to something. So the team are brilliant at archiving and first of all, going out and making stuff, then archiving it. And then we sit down at the beginning of the year, pull it all together. And it's the best example of each strand we want to be famous for, I think, that makes it through. Because, I mean, I'm massively guilty of this. You do the first draft and it's twice as long as you're allowed, things yeah. like that. So it's then you get the butchering of what needs to stay and what goes through. So it's I think those final few weeks of playing it back and thinking, does this match the story you want to tell, is really important.
Were you thinking about what the judges are looking for to hit those points?
I think it's a good question, because, I mean, let's be honest, like, radio station producers, I think it's about 500,000 minutes of radio a year. And then in this category, you've got 20 minutes after those 12 months to showcase what you do. And I think from awards are brilliant at pushing you, making you think outside the box and making you think, what else could we do? I think, do we sit down and go, what are we going to do to win an award? I don't think we really do that as directors, that. But I think what we do think is, you know, what is award-winning radio? What does it look like? And when you're putting together an entry, you soon realise if that clip's too long to be able to fit into your collection of clips,
yeah,
it's not great for the entry, but it probably wasn't the right thing for the audience either. So it breeds better, you know, it's like a film director creating an Oscar-winning film. The real winner there is the millions of people who get to see that movie. So I think you look ahead of the 12 months ago, what are the bits we want to be famous for? And then sure, yeah, now how are we going to make it award-winning is always like a secondary filter that goes through it.
Do you have any tips or advice? Maybe that comes down to the ordering of your moments, the arc. You're now an expert in this field, so.
Trust me, yeah. I've got a lot of entries in before. So the first thing I'd say is never be beaten if you don't get a nomination before, because we've been there many times before. So, and you almost kind of revisit and go, what did we get wrong? It's so subjective. And every entry that goes into a judge's session is brilliant. If you think about it, it's the best of the year. So never feel like you've got it wrong if you haven't got a nomination. But I think from the bit that has stuck with me is you need to tell a story. You need to catch a judge's attention quick. A lot of judges, like a lot of us in radio, we're very creative, maybe a short attention span here or there. You want to grab them and hold them. So move them emotionally, make them laugh, make them cry, hit them with something that's going to get them at the beginning. And then take them on a journey, you know, then follow it up with something completely different. Seems to have worked for us. And then just, it's like a roller coaster of emotions, but start big, end big, and take them all sorts of different places in between.
Paul said, lift them up, throw them down, take them around. We want tears, we want laughter, we want emotions. But no, I love it. And I think what the viewers are going to absolutely love is that we are going to play some of that award-winning entry, and we're going to kind of reflect on it, go through and ask some questions. The first piece features Fleur on Breakfast and the Rap Roulette. Let's go.
It's time for Fleur's Rap Roulette. Live.
Yes. Oh, no. I have no idea where this is going.
Been in and out of lockdowns for a while now. Zoom quizzes and FaceTime are played out. But we're allowed out of the house now. Let's go out, go out, bring the house down. But of course, T's and C's apply. So let's not get too crazy inside. We still gotta back it up. Hands out to back them up. The rest of the population gotta back it up. But it's cool because we're back to school and we're in the pool. We've relaxed the rules. The UK alert level's down to 4. And we don't need to feel locked down no more. To the pub, but don't behave raucously. We can hug, but must hug cautiously. Because we finally popped out of the bubble and now we're allowed to cuddle. In and out of lockdown for over 13 months. So I might hug you. Ain't seen my nan in a while. I wanna give her a squeeze. So I might hug you and hug her too. We'll be spending a fortune. Please cuddle with caution. And please don't kiss. No, please don't kiss. No more getting food to go. But I might smell your B.O. And I'll hug you.
Yes! Hug you. Amazing.
Oh, hug me, Fleur. That was beautiful.
Oh, back it up. Vax it up. I'm going to cry. That was so good. Amazing. Oh, wow.
Hug with caution, everyone. Hug with caution.
Oh, I love it. Does that bring back some, like, memories of a deep, dark lockdown?
That's so strange listening, because I was just listening back to the lyrics saying, oh, the alert level's at 4. I'm like, what did that even mean? That's just so weird to hear that. It's like a snapshot from that, from the time of the pandemic. It's really interesting.
It completely is. And not to get too deep to it, but you know, that's the kind of thing we'll be playing to next generations, being like, this is what lockdown was. This is what this time was. But people found joy. People found ways to keep themselves smiling. And what I love about that clip is it's the kind of thing you'd do with your mates, you know, mess around and making up lyrics, and to bring us in on that and obviously use your skills outside of radio as well. You're always singing on the show and, you know, it's great to kind of bring your two lives together. What was it about that clip, do you think, that kind of impressed the judges?
I think just because, firstly, I mean, looking around here, just on this chat, everyone just started smiling instantly. It just brought joy to so many people. And it was at the point in the pandemic where we were finally getting back out and meeting people again. So it was like reflective of the mood of the nation at the time.
Yeah.
And to use the medium of music as well to communicate that is such an amazing thing to do, especially on a music breakfast show. And it's really unique to our breakfast show as well. It's like our staple feature. We've had it since the start. And like you said, it's amazing for me as a presenter to be able to bring my world of music and songwriting to the show. And we have a lot of fun. And I think you can just hear, like you said, it sounds like mates just, you know, in the house, like having a laugh together. And I think that's probably what impacted the judges when they listened to it.
I mean, the breakfast show is so important because for a lot of people, it's the first voice they hear in the morning. You know, it's our first kind of friend, whether they're in the house, in the car or going out and about. On the show, you're joined by James Barr and producer Matt as well. And you guys have got such a good rapport. Nothing feels forced. Nothing feels like, oh God, every day I have to do the show with these guys. It just sounds like a lot of fun. How did you kind of build up that good connection to make it, you know, in real life, I'm sure, and on air?
Yeah, I think we're very lucky, if I'm honest with you, that naturally we just bonded quite instantly. On paper, we shouldn't really be friends.
Yeah.
Like, you really look at it. It's like we're from three completely different walks of life.
Yeah.
But we come together and we can just laugh at each other. We don't take ourselves too seriously. That's a big thing. You know, we can take the mick out of each other. We do that on a daily basis. And we just bring everyone back down to earth. Like, when you think about it, the things that I do outside of radio, I mean, are like quite glitz and glammy or whatever. And then I come on the radio in the morning and everyone just rips me apart.
Yeah.
And a mistake I did on a TV show somewhere. And it's like, okay, no, I'm Fleur again. I'm one of your mates. And we're in the pub and we're taking the mick out of me again. But I think that's why we have such a great connection with each other, but also with the listeners. And yeah, we are lucky. We're blessed to have such an amazing team and to be able to just laugh at each other. And we enjoy what we do. And I think that's a big plus.
And Paul mentioned, you know, all of us here on this call and watching the call as well are complete radio geeks, complete nerds for it. You know, we love it. When you first started getting into radio, what was the kind of motivation behind it? Were you just like, yeah, this is something I really want to be a part of?
It's interesting because not many people know, but I actually studied journalism at uni. So I've got a degree in journalism. Yeah. So I was always like, oh, I'd love to one day be a host, be a presenter. I'd love to do it. And funnily enough, the timing was perfect because I was in the middle of a radio tour for my music. Mm. And one of my friends actually has a clip of me sitting in Hits with the headphones on, about to get interviewed by Sarah Jane Crawford. And I'm sitting there going, oh, don't you just love how the radio sounds? Like, I just love how it sounds like in my headphones. And then fast forward 6 months later, I was asked to join The Breakfast Show. So for me, I mean, it was an absolute dream job because, as my husband says, I can talk rubbish for the longest amount of time. So that's a plus. But also just wanting to do TV presenting and then being a performer and a singer, it's like music, it's hosting, it's talking, it's all the things that I love in one. And I think what's great as well, to touch on your first point about building that rapport with the team, is that we do so many things outside of the studio. So for example, a massive thing we did was the staycation tour. We went around, we were in Blackpool, we were in Skegness. The whole team came to watch me perform at Butlins, which was really cool. But taking us out of the studio then also builds that team spirit. And yeah, I just love it. It honestly is like a playground getting to do this job.
It makes perfect sense. It really does. And I love that of being able to get out of one bubble and into another, but also, yeah, take the team and take the listeners somewhere else. And we're going to go on to clip two, and our second piece also involves Fleur and the Breakfast team and Coldplay.
Last night, Fleur performed with Coldplay in London after this random invitation just happened during our Zoom chat. Listen to this.
My favourite song on the album has to be Human Heart, the heart emoji.
Do you want to come and perform it with us on Tuesday?
I would love to. Yes!
Oh my god!
Okay, great.
I love how chill.
He's so calm.
Do you want to perform it with us?
He's like, okay, great. And I'm like, nah. So I thought immediately after that interview, I thought, this is a bit of a joke, isn't it? Like, surely it's for the banter. And then I actually got contacted by their management team.
Wow.
And they were like, yeah, we need to know what you want in your dressing room.
What did you say?
You need to come. I was like, oh, I kept it so simple. I didn't want to abuse it, you know. I was
seven
like,
poodles.
Just lemon, ginger, and honey.
Seven poodles.
Basically what I asked for.
So this is technically like, we've got a clip. This is like one of the first times anyone will get to hear this song.
The human heart, only God's human heart. I wish it didn't run away. I wish it didn't fall apart.
Guys, it was like Christmas came early.
It feels like Christmas listening to it. And you can hear your whistle tones.
Oh, hello.
Coming through.
Whistle tones. It's funny. I got home last night and I just couldn't sleep. I just kept watching the clip over and over. And I was like, hold on. Is that Chris Martin? Yes, it is. Is that me? Yes. This is mad. Like, I still can't believe it to this day.
That's unbelievable. Listen, Fleur, 2 months ago, you were sharing the bill on stage with Stavros Flatley. Now you're in Coldplay. Welcome.
Oh my God.
This is the highs and lows of the industry, guys. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Here they are, come.
I think it shows range. I think it shows range. Obviously, yeah. a huge moment for you, Fleur, but also, Paul, as programme director, you've got to think business. Huge moment for content, for the show, for the station. Great bit of, you know, bringing that outside world in, and if you're truly about the music industry, here we go, send off our breakfast presenter to go and perform at Coldplay.
This, do you know what's really interesting is, like, obviously that landed on our feet, you know. I think Ben Cooper had arranged like us to have the broadcast rights across Europe for the Coldplay gig, which was an amazing win, which we did with Absolute Radio. And then we got the interview. And I think, but what I took from it is obviously we capitalised on that moment, but it's the relationship that we've been able to build with the artist. We've got an amazing head of music called Toby, and his connection with the nice guys working with the labels, and we've just got this relationship where opportunities now seem to be coming our way, and hopefully we do our very best in turning it around. And I think, I mean, Fleur, that was one of, there's another one coming up, isn't there? The script got you to do the same on their gig, and it's just because they like being next to Fleur. It's great to see.
I mean, for me, it's like a dream come true. I was like Willy Wonka. I'd been given the golden ticket. And it was funny because it should have been a lot more show busy than it was, really. Because when you listen to our show the next day, it was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. And it's like, and of course, I've performed many times and you know, I sing, that's what I do. But honestly, it was like a dream come true. It was such an amazing opportunity. And I think that it was so cool for our listeners to hear the moment that I got asked, which was a genuine surprise. It just came out of nowhere. And then to also follow the story and the aftermath, like the morning after, and just to hear, you know, I guess people would have connected with it because it's like literally just being plucked out of, you know, the millions of people, like Chris Martin asking me to perform. I mean, it was honestly, it was such a magical moment. And it was amazing that our listeners got to hear the whole journey.
I just would love to hear kind of one word from each of you about what you like bringing to Hits Radio and you know, how that maybe played a part in the award-winning entry. Paul, we'll start with you.
Hopefully an energy to sort of like keep like, yeah, where can we go? What can we do next? That's probably my main job, I think.
Very important. Fleur?
Passion. Passion. I think that ties in everything really from our entry. It's everyone's individual passions, but the passion and the love that everyone on the team has and that you can hear through the speakers.
You can hear more from their discussion on the Radio Academy website with even more insight from their colleagues, Michelle Livesey, who's deputy news editor for Bauer, and Steph Hill, who's a senior producer. It's just £3 a month to become a Radio Academy member. Thanks for listening.